The Torah, the law, the covenant in the ark that the Levites carried on their shoulders was not a burden. Rather, it is meant to uplift them and serve as the very inspiration for the song that they would raise in the presence of God. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, episode 170, Levites and the Source of Song. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
The documentary Orchestra of Exiles tells the tale of Bronislav Huberman, who in the 1930s was seized with the mission of creating an orchestra for the Yishuv, for the Jewish community in the Holy Land. He therefore recruited gifted Jewish musicians from around Europe, somehow convincing them to give up life in the incredibly sophisticated societies in which they found themselves, and to make their way to the Middle East and to a place which must have been seen by so many in the lands from where they came as a relative cultural backwater. The film describes how Huberman, who had been given a Stradivarius as a child, would play in concerts across America in order to raise funds for the nascent orchestra. And prior to performance at Carnegie Hall, his violin was stolen. This loss had an awful impact on Huberman. And in an interview in the documentary, a violin virtuoso of our own time, Joshua Bell, explained why. He said, quote, "The connection between violinist and violin, it becomes almost like your soulmate. Some people compare it to getting married. Huberman formed so much of his career on this violin, so it must have been devastating to come back to his dressing room and to know that your soul, your voice, is missing." End quote. I found this connection between soul and musical instrument quite interesting because my grandfather, Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, has noted that in the Torah, songs are written differently than prose. Songs are written in a calligraphic form that differs from that of regular text. The scribe leaves large spaces at certain points between the words. These spaces, my grandfather explained, represent the emotional aspect of the song that words themselves cannot describe. We are, as it were, supposed to look at the song in the Torah and read between the lines. In a similar sense, Rabbi Sachs, in a discussion about the role of song in Judaism, quoted Arnold Bennett, an English novelist, who said, quote, "Music is a language which the soul alone understands, but which the soul can never translate." And to this, Rabbi Sachs added that, quote, "There is an inner connection between music and the spirit. When language aspires to the transcendent, and the soul longs to break free of the gravitational pull of the earth, it modulates into song. Words are the language of the mind. Music is the language of the soul." End quote. Bearing these citations in our memory, we turn back to a subject that we have visited before in 10-Minute Mitzvah, which is the role of the Levite in Israelite society. In the temple, they had two roles, and those roles are themselves obligated by a mitzvah. Hence, the medieval compilation of the commandments, Sefer HaChinuch, tells us about this commandment as follows, and this is the Sefaria translation, quote, "That the Levites serve in the temple to be gatekeepers and to sing every day over the sacrifice, as it is stated, Numbers 18:23, and the Levites shall serve," end quote. By his very language, this medieval author notes that there are two aspects to Levitic service in the temple. They act, as he puts it in the Hebrew, as shoarim, those that guard the gates of the temple, and we have discussed that in another episode, and they act as mishorim, those that sing. It is fascinating, though, that even as the guardianship of the temple was given explicitly to the Levites, and even as it is clear from later books in the Hebrew Bible that the Levites were the primary singers in the temple as well as its musicians, the Talmud implicitly notes that the obligation incumbent upon Levites to sing in the tabernacle and temple does not have an openly explicit verse in the five books of Moses. And therefore, the derivation for this role from the Pentateuch provided by the Talmud is all the more fascinating. It comes from another Levitic role also previously discussed, and that is the obligation of the Levitic family known as Kahat to carry on their shoulders in the journey through the wilderness the most sacred objects of the temple, holiest of all, of course, being the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the law. This rule is enunciated in Numbers through the verse Ki avudat hakodesh alehem bakatei fisao, for the sacred service is upon them, on their shoulders they shall carry it, or on their shoulders they shall lift it. The Talmud links lifting as a verb to a verse in the Psalms, in which the infinitive to lift appears in the context of singing. Se'u zimra, lift up a song. Utnu tof, and sound your timbrel. Kinor na'im imnavel, playing the harp pleasantly along with the lute. Song itself is lifted up, it is raised. And thus, says the Talmud, when the Levites are engaged in sacred service by lifting on their shoulders, this is a reference to their obligation to sing as well. The point of this mysterious derivation appears to be that the Torah, the law, the covenant in the ark that the Levites carried on their shoulders was not a burden. Rather, it is meant to uplift them and serve as the very inspiration for the song that they would raise in the presence of God. It is the Talmud that tells us that Aaron noseet nosav, that in truth the ark lifted up all those that bore it. It spiritually inspired them. So that in the end, for the Levites, the instruments they played in the temple was only an external manifestation of the inner inspiration that came from their contact to and closeness with the Word of God. We have previously discussed how the Levites were meant to be the clergy of Israelite society, and their role as singers, it seems, is linked to their love of the law. That is what creates the music of their soul. Rabbi Sacks, pondering the connection between Judaic faith and song, once put it this way, quote, "Music is a form of sensed continuity that can sometimes break through the most overpowering disconnections in our experience of time. Faith is more like music than like science. Science analyzes, music integrates. And as music connects note to note, so faith connects episode to episode, life to life, age to age, in a timeless melody that breaks into time. God is the composer and librettist. We are each called on to be voices in the choir, singer of God's song. Faith teaches us to hear the music beneath the noise." End quote. In the end, Huberman's Stradivarius, what Joshua Bell called Huberman's soul, was found, and it was Joshua Bell, whose own story I have discussed in another podcast, who ended up purchasing that Stradivarius. And, as he tells us, soon after, he played that Stradivarius in the land of Israel, in the state of Israel, in the Israel Philharmonic created by Huberman. Another reflection of the way in which Jewish history continues to inspire. We, in turn, are all asked to see our heritage not as a burden, but as that which lifts us up, inspires us, and helps us to live life with a song in our heart. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.